Fine. So really, I wanted to get started on Monday. On Sunday, we're going to start on the main sugya here, right? The main sugya. Woo! The main sugya of the first perek is this question of doing business with non-Jews. So we're going to start with the Mishnah, and then we're going to skip to where the Gemara actually really starts, which is in the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. But I didn't think I could get into a sugya that large on a Thursday because you forget everything by Sunday. So we're going to do a little sugya over here on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. For the most part, the Agaditas I'm going to try to cover them on Sunday, as I already said, sort of in our Agadita share. But let me give a little bit of background. So this long Agadita, or this long story that Gemara tells from the bottom of Beis for several dapim, where God gets into a disagreement, I don't know, with the nations of the world. They're pleading their case in the eschatological, this is like an eschatological vision, right? I'm going to try an English word. End of days. It's a discussion of the end of days.
Right.
Eschatology, like, is the study of the end of days.
Sort of thing?
No, well, more messianic times, but the end of time, whatever, the end of days. So God is arguing with the non-Jews about, you know, do they deserve a place in the world to come? And they argue with God about all the things they've done right. And God tells them, you know, it's very nice that you did things that were practically good, but you did them for not good reasons or for selfish reasons, etc. And then they move from generalities of what they did to the Torah itself. And the Gemara says that the Hashem notes that they haven't even kept the Sheva Mitzvos, the seven mitzvot that they are obligated in. Now the Gemara now needs to prove that. Right, because God is about to hold them accountable for the fact they didn't even keep their mitzvot. So, three lines from the bottom of the Gemara in Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Well, how do you know? Right? How do you know that they didn't keep the mitzvot?" So the Gemara proves it from a pasuk. Okay.
All towards non-Jew. This all towards non-Jewish people.
Yes.
And Hashem's like stating how can they keep
it. Yes, exactly. Right now, again, we're not going to get into what the Agadita means right now. That first we need to take a few weeks on Sunday and figure out how you even learn Agadita. Once we do that, we can try to understand what it means. So then, in the middle of that, the Gemara says, here, I'll get you to the critical point. The Gemara says, there's three lines from the bottom of the Gemara in Beis Amud Beis. You got it? Ditani? Mm-hmm. You have a Gemara open? Yeah? So Gemara says, Ditani. Rabbi Yosef, Amad ve'modeid Eretz, Ra'ah v'yater goyim. So he got up, measured the land, and God saw something, and v'yater, which the Gemara is going to read as permitted, he permitted the non-Jews something. So the Gemara says, my Ra'ah, what did God see? Ra'ah shiv'am mitzvot shikvlu alehen b'nei Noach v'lo kimu. God saw that there are seven mitzvot, they didn't fulfill them. Kevan shelo kimum, since the non-Jews didn't keep the mitzvot, amad v'hitiran lahen. So once he saw that the non-Jews did not keep their own mitzvot, so he permitted it to them. Meaning he said, you're not going to keep your seven mitzvot, you're not going to keep them, of which six of them are prohibitions, one of them is a positive mitzvah. Remember? Right, the assertive one is dinim, right? Set up courts, but everything else is don't kill, don't steal, don't commit any of the immoral sexual acts, don't worship idols, don't blaspheme, and don't eat a live animal. So the Gemara says, once God saw that he couldn't keep the mitzvah, so he permitted to them. He said, okay, so you don't have to. So the Gemara says, and this is where we'll pick up. So the Gemara said, itgure itkar. Right, what? I don't understand. Right, they get rewarded, right? They don't keep the mitzvot, so you're going to make it. They don't have to keep it, right? This is like every kid's dream, right? They break the rules over and over again, so then their parents are say, you know what? Forget it. We're getting rid of all the rules. You can't keep them anyways. It's pointless. Let's just throw them out, right? So, right? It's a great idea. So the Gemara says, "Itgure itkar." Now,
conceptually speaking, it does sound better.
Yeah, it sounds great. Now this comes to the word, if you know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right? The fum tzara agra, based on the pain is the gain, right? That's the word. Agar is reward. So the Gemara says, in Cain, that's not fair. Matzinu chote niskar. You find that, right? What does chote niskar mean? A sinner
is getting rewarded. rewarded.
Yeah, right? Meaning, right? Everyone else isn't allowed to do it, and you're allowed to do it because you've violated so many times that forget it. So you have no rules.
Crazy.
It's crazy, exactly. So the Gemara says, no. Amar marbre dravina lomar. Sha'af alpi shemekaimin otan ein mekablim aleyan schar. It's not that they're permitted, it's that even if they keep their mitzvah, they don't get rewarded. So the Gemara then says, that's not fair, v'lo, and it's not true either. V'atanya, but the Braisa taught, Hayre Meir Omer, minayin shafil ovid kochavim v'osek b'torah shu k'chohen gadol. How do you know that a non-Jew who learns Torah? Now this is a bit problematic, because the Gemara elsewhere says that a non-Jew isn't allowed to learn Torah. I don't want to get into that at this moment. But how do you know that even a non-Jew who learns Torah, Shukka Kohen Gadol, he has the status of the high priest, Talmud Lomar, Asher Yaseo Tama Adam V'chai Bohem, that a person shall do them, perform them, the mitzvot, and live through them. Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Lo Ne'emar. It doesn't say only Jews, Kohanim, Levim, right, upstanding Jews. Elaha Adam, it says people. Halomata Shafilo Oved Kochavim V'osek B'Torah Reu K'Kohen Gadol, which teaches you that even a non-Jew who learns Torah, he has the status of the Kohen Gadol. So it can't be that they don't get rewarded for their mitzvot. It's not true. They do get rewarded for their mitzvot. So Elolomar Lecha Shein Mekavon En Schar K'Mitzuveh V'Oseh Elak Mishein Mitzuveh V'Oseh. Rather, God lowers their obligation such that they no longer, when they fulfill the mitzvot, they no longer get the reward of one who is obligated and performs, but rather one who does it as if it's voluntary. To Amar Reb Chanina, because Reb Chanina says, Gadol ha-mitzuveh ve'oseh, yoter mi'usheinu mi'mitzuveh ve'oseh. Because we rule,
like Reb Chanina,
that you get more reward for doing a mitzvah that you're obligated in than one you volunteer in. So this is what I want to understand, because this is a central idea in mitzvah in general, and that's what I want to analyze. And it's short, so that's good. Okay? So, before we get into the sugya itself, and actually read the Rishonim, let me throw it at you first, okay? If you had to guess, who's better? Somebody who does something because he's obligated, or somebody who does something on a volunteer basis? He has no compulsion, and he does it anyways. Who's better? Why? Right? Why would you say the volunteer is better?
Doesn't have to,
and therefore.
Therefore, if he's choosing to do it, he's like, you know, I'm going to give up my time.
Right, I mean, there is something intuitive about that. If I volunteer, I do something I don't have to do, you know, that's even better. Right, that's even better. Right, we all.
I know, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I would agree.
Right, that's like just intuitive.
Like in the real world, like it's like if someone never asks you to do something, you do it.
Yeah, like, oh, right, in general, we like it.
Ask you to do this.
Good. Now, who thought that? So who thought that? No, hold that, right? Yes, mitel shalal lishma balishma. Yes, we do say that in at least six places in Shas. Yes, but it's a bit of a complicated sugya.
What?
I
was just saying, like, I need to make up like a thing after you just spit like straight fire from memory, and you come up with like a thing to be like, yo, that's cool. You just spit something from memory.
Yes, you can check me on it.
I
it's Brachot Yudzayin, Sachem Daf Nun, Hariot Daf Gimel, Nazir Daf Chav Gimel, so it's a Daf Chav Beis, Hariot Daf Yud.
Well, that'll be the sound for when he does
okay.
It. That's awesome. I wish I had remembered it better.
Yeah, anyways, so...
He basically, like, Baal Nef, like, without anything in front of him, just quoted, like, the six, seven, you say seven?
I think it's six.
The six places where a certain topic comes up throughout all of Shas. By memory.
Anyways, I don't know. I just knew that. Anyways, so who thought this? Who thought that volunteering to do a mitzvah was better than doing it because you're obligated? No, somebody specific in the sources you've seen. Who thought that?
That would have been in the sources we've seen and the sources that are on this page.
On the page, or I know you saw it, didn't you?
We didn't get up to. We only did.
You did one.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Number one.
Kedushin.
So who thought it?
Rabbi Blomblom. What's his name?
Rav.
Yehuda.
Yosef.
Yosef.
Rabbi Yosef.
Yosef.
Right, Rabbi Yosef. Right. So the Gemara and Kedushin has a similar.
Is that your Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi, what is Rabbi Yehuda says? If you're
Okay, so let's get the background, right? So Rabbi Yosef was blind, okay?
Where's your source sheet?
Now,
I remember the Gemara.
All right.
Okay. So Rabbi Yosef was blind, right? And Rabbi Yosef wanted to know, am I obligated in mitzvot or am I not obligated in mitzvot? Okay? So he said, there's a machlokas. The chachamim hold that a blind person is obligated in mitzvot. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not. So Rabbi Yosef did mitzvot, even though, right, Rabbi Yosef performed the mitzvot, right? That's the facts on the ground. So now Rabbi Yosef said, I do mitzvot. And originally I thought that the ideal would be for someone to tell me that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why?
Because
we're not commanded to.
We're not commanded.
Right? Therefore, I'm a volunteer and I am super.
Yeah.
Or I'm Superman. Right? I don't have to do anything and I do everything. Right? And I'm going to be so happy.
Wait, sorry. I meant to say you're commanded to if you're able to. But you're not commanded.
And you're not if you're blind. Right, so he said, and he's blind.
I thought you were asking.
Okay, right, so Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef was blind. He says, I wish that someone would tell me that I'm exempt from mitzvot. Because if I'm exempt from mitzvot, I do it anyways. Right, when I go to Shemayim, God is going to put me on a pedestal. It'll be amazing. I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to make a party only for rabbis. It'll be really a wild party. A wild party. Only rabbis.
Just a ton of guys just chilling around the table and talking to her.
Basically, yeah.
It's going to be lit.
Yeah, exactly. But then, right, but then he gets his whole worldview is changed because of Reb Chanina. Right, so let's read Kiddushin Lamed Aleph. Who wants to take it? What?
Rabbi Yosef's like view.
No. He's like, it'd be great for me.
I'm going to be the...
Yeah, I'm going to be king.
What?
Just a dog, sorry. There's literally just a huge dog walking next to the Yeshiva. For no
apparent
reason whatsoever.
That's right. Where is he? We get this in the Gush all the time.
Like, right there. Oh, he's so cute. But, like, what is
going on here? It's not even so big. It's not even so big. Yeah, anyways.
I'm
all
your
location. Okay. Okay, it's a dog. Fine. It's a dog. It's a wolf dog. Good. Now we've seen the dog, let's move right there. Now that we've violated a mission in Perkei Avos, let's go by turn.
It belongs to someone.
Good. So that was Rabbi Yosef thought. Right? That was Rabbi Yosef thought. But it turns out he's wrong. So let's read the Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph. Who wants to take source number one? Right? Who wants to take number one on the sheet?
Number one is
the one with a one. No. There's a one. There's a number one. It just says one. Wrong sheet. Amar Rab Chanina.
Ma mi sheino mitzura.
Mitzuveh ve'oseh. Al achad kama ve'kama. How much more so? Right, so Chanina says, if you get rewarded when you're not obligated, how much more so if you are obligated? Now, why does he say that? Because we already know. What does Chanina think? It's better to be commanded than not. So, based on that, good, that we already saw. So now, Amar Rabbi Yosef, end of the line. So Rabbi Yosef says, Meresh. What does that mean? Originally, right? Meresh. Hey Aleph is? Hava Amina. What does Hava Amina mean? I would have said. Meresh Hava Amina. Originally, I would have said, my first inclination was to think that Matya. Yosef, please.
Okay.
Where'd you go? No. We're not there. We're on the second line.
Second line. Right.
Yeah. Manda Havi Amarli Alacha Kirib Yehuda. Yeah. What does that mean?
From where?
No. Man is the one who would have said. Right? Man? Somebody. Dahave. Who would have. Amarli.
To me.
Yehuda.
Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar said, Soma patur min ha-mitzvot.
Right.
You're exempt.
Who's exempt?
Soma.
Which is a?
A blind person.
Blind person.
A blind person is patur min from the mitzvot. Abidana yoma tova l'revan.
Right.
Revanan.
So I would have.
Avidna.
What's Oved?
Work.
Or make. Right. In this case, it's make. I would have made Yomatava. What's Yomatava? In Hebrew. What's Yomatava in Hebrew? This is Aramaic. What's Yomatava in Hebrew?
So, good day. Wait.
Max, you want to just open the door? Oh, no, she's going downstairs. It's okay. Yom Tov. Right? Yomatava is Yom Tov. Right? I would have made a holiday. I would have made a party. The Rabbanan.
For the rabbis.
For the rabbis. I would have made a rabbi party. Right?
How does that... None of those connect.
Right?
If I was told that...
If I found out, right, that I am not obligated to mitzvot, and I do them anyways, I would have made a party. Why? The halo mifkidana. Because what?
Because it's not...
The lo mifkidana. I am not...
Obligated?
Obligated. Avidna.
Are.
No, v'havidna, but I do it anyways.
Oh.
Right? So I used to think that if you told me that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, namely that I don't have to do the mitzvot and I do it anyways, so I'm a volunteer, I would make a party.
Okay.
Because then I would know that I'm the best. Hashta.
Hashta deshemaita lo deamar rav.
Right, now that I've heard.
Now that I've heard from Rabbi Meir.
From Rabbi Chanina. Domer Rabbi Chanina. Now that I've heard that Rabbi Chanina said.
Rabbi Chanina,
namely, Gadol.
Gadol is Saveh. Mitzuveh v'aseh yoter m'meh. Sheino mitzuveh v'aseh. Big mitzvot are.
Right, no. Mitzuveh. Not mitzvah. Mitzuveh.
Greater is commanded. Greater is commanded.
The one who's commanded.
Yeah.
Right. Then one who is not commanded.
More than
Yoter is more. Mimi she'eno mitzuveh ve'oseh. One who is
from one that is not the one that is not commanded to do.
Perfect. So now that I know that it's not true, that it's better to be commanded than volunteer than a volunteer. Adiraba. What's adiraba? On the contrary, or in Yiddish, Danny.
Adiraba.
No. Punktverkehr.
No.
Adiraba is Aramaic. Yiddish is Punktverkehr. Yeah. Okay, but in Yiddish, anyways. On the opposite, right? The opposite, the contrary. Man damarli, de'ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The one who tells me?
The one that says, li de'ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda.
That the law is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, the one who will tell me that we rule like the Chachamim and not Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that I'm obligated, Avidna Yomatova L'Rabbanan. I'll make a party for him. Right? Meaning Rabbi Yosef says, I want my mitzvot to be maximal. I used to think that being a volunteer was better than being obligated. Now I know that it's not true. Being obligated is better than being a volunteer. So Rabbi Yosef had all of your intuition, right? That if I have to pick the person who's a volunteer, the one who does something because he has to, I pick the volunteer, right? It's intuitive. But Rabbi Chanina teaches it's not true. So why isn't it true? So let me throw it out to you. Why is it not true? Why is it better to be commanded a mitzvot than to volunteer to do a mitzvot? Shema.
It's obviously, it's more...
Okay, good. Hold that. Right? Right?
Hold it.
Okay, fine. Shimon says what? Shimon says, why is it more, why is it better?
Read the Tosfos. Yeah. Is that what you want to do? Like quote the Tosfos?
Oh, no, Tosfos doesn't actually say what you just said. You just said the Ritva.
No, I said I did read the Tosfos too. Like, why don't you add you're
oh, no, so fine.
From the sources of what I think?
No, what do you think? Well, so what Shimon says is actually the Ritva, which he hasn't read yet, so Baruch
will take it. So do it.
And, or let's push it, right? So, in general, whenever you have a, right, machlokes, or you never have a svara, right, you can provide different types of svara, right, different types of arguments. There are technical arguments, and there are fundamental arguments. Okay? Right? That's a pretty simple distinction there. Right? What Shimon just argued was a very fundamental argument. So let's hold it just for a second. Right? Tosos gives a much more technical argument. What does Tosos say? There's an English. So hold off on. I'm not going to let you skip to the English one yet. Yeah, Danny.
So Tosfos says it's better to be as he agrees with the two Gemaras, Kedushin and Menachot.
Of course, he agrees with them. Yeah.
It is better to be commanded.
Why?
Than to be commanded.
Why? I know he agrees with Gemara. Why does he agree with the Gemara?
Because when you are commanded, you have a responsibility, and you have to obey that responsibility.
Good, right? Tosos is a very technical answer. Right? Tosos says, right? If you look at number two, why don't you read it since you've said it?
What?
Number two. What does Tosos say? Okay. Or you can read the Tosos here also, right? I gave you the one in Kiddushin, but I meant to say, look at the one here also, okay. Right? Let's start with the one in our Gemara. Let's start with the one in our Gemara. Right, in Avodah Zarah. It's only like six, seven words. Right? The little tiny Tosfot in Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah, look at your Gemaras, people. Nachum, in your Gemara, Gimel Amud Aleph. Little Tosfot, Gadol HaMetzuvah V'Yoseh. One second, he's reading.
Okay.
Perish.
Okay. No, this one, yeah?
Yeah, Perish. Okay. Perish. The pay is a Perish.
Mipnei
shehu.
The ag.
Doeg.
Tomid.
Levatel.
Levatel is Yisrael.
Yitzro.
Velekayis.
Lekayim. That's a mem sofid.
Ah, mem sofid. Okay. The
mitzvot.
The kodeh.
Boro.
Huh?
Boro.
Ah, boro, yeah.
Right, so what does Tosfos say? Because, what is it? Doeg tamid, which is, he's always.
He's always bad?
Worried.
Worried.
Ah, worried.
Worried. Levatel Yitzro, to overcome his.
His responsibility.
Yitzro. What's Yitzro?
Huh?
Yitzro.
His will.
His Yitzhara, right? His Yitzro. His will, yeah. Well, Kayim, it's Matt Burrow. Yeah, Max, what do you want to say?
Relating back to source one, I'm still confused because it's kind of like, it's kind of unlike a rabbi such as Rabbi Yosef to like hold himself in the shop.
Why?
Because like, it just doesn't seem something.
You think when we go to like smicha and we get smicha, we lose all of our ego when that happens?
No, oh my God, their ego explodes a lot of times.
I'm not.
Thanks, Shimon. Thanks, Shimon. I was trying to say we're just like any other human being. I wasn't trying to say we're worse. Thanks, Shimon. Thanks, Shimon. Thanks.
I said something.
So the point is, what do you mean? Everyone in life, I understand, but he's saying, look, I keep the mitzvah.
Like, you're using comparative to modern rabbis.
It's natural for a human being to say, look, I do the mitzvah. I want to get as much credit for it as I can. Why not?
That's like if you went to a college class, right? And then the professor was like, well, you didn't sign up for this class, so I'm not giving you credit for it. Or it's like, you know, you wouldn't.
It's not like he didn't enjoy it. It's not like he's not going to do it anyways. But there's something you want to do. I don't know. You know, I don't have a problem.
I remember, like, us discussing, like, I don't know if it was in your class or in another share, like, the difference between doing a mitzvah, like, most of the time we perform positive commandment, we do it because out of the selfish need.
Definitely Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Probably describing his what he views, like,
yeah,
think about chesed, right?
Chesed.
Yeah.
It's your selfish need to feel like you're helping other people.
Yeah. So,
sort of self.
Yeah, no, Hanami, but.
I wouldn't put it past such, like.
But he's saying, look, I'm doing the mitzvot, but I want to get credit, I want to get reward for it. It's not that he's not saying he's doing the mitzvot selfishly. He's saying, but if I'm already doing the mitzvot, I might as well get credit.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get credit. What? He's a Mora or is he a Tana? Is a Bryce? I think
one
he's
of those
a,
two can't be the other. No.
Yeah.
What?
One of those can't.
That's more complicated. Usually, an Amora doesn't argue on a Tana.
He doesn't.
Usually, that's a machlokas.
That's a
machlokas. We can do that at some point during the
year. I don't want to do it. There's someone in the yeshiva who has a big problem. One of the other Rabbanim you've got someone else who now like doesn't ever want to go to Pius again because it doesn't make any sense. So
the Meiri says that an Amora fundamentally can and does argue with a Tana. He just pretends.
Makes sense to me.
Okay. It's a machlokes. Anyways, I have a share in it.
It was said as a blanket statement, so I think that's where the confusion came.
Yeah, it's not true.
It's usually true.
It's not clear why it's true. It's a bit of a bikitsur. An Amora doesn't usually argue with a Tana either for fundamental reasons, which is what the Chazon Ish says in Mamre Beis Aleph, or for technical reasons, which is what the Kesem Mishnah says, or the Kesem Mishnah says. Reb Chaim says the same thing in Tefrish Lamed Gimel.
It happened in
Shirim. Different story. Not important for now. I mean, it is very important. It's not for the second. Yeah, I. It doesn't bother me, you know.
I'm not saying it bothers me.
Like, you know, so yeah, he wants reward.
Whenever I learn Gemara, I've never seen, like, an Ingram. I've never seen a rabbi, like, high, like, oldest. Like, I've seen a
all the time. All the time.
Do what? When you say what, hold himself in such a
regard.
Do you think this is bad? This isn't holding him in regard. He says, I keep the mitzvah, but I want to get credit. There are worse ones.
It's bad. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I've never, like,
yeah, well, look at the end of Sota. The end of Sota gets worse. The end of Sota, the Gemara says, Mishameis Rebbe but la'anava. Right? When Rebbe died, no one was humble. And someone says, what do you mean? There's me. Right? In one of the greatest moments in the Gemara, right? How can you say no one's humble? What about me? You know? I am the most humble person ever. Humble. Right? Me. Right? We got all sense of
it. These people are, like, you have to understand, like, just because it was 1,000 years ago, maybe a thousand years ago, it doesn't mean they're not, like,
humans. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like,
but this one, of all things, this is...
At least I was, like, I'm not always full, but I was given the illusion that people are somehow, they're on a higher...
They're great they people. Are, he's a great people. Person. It's not... But it's totally human. It's totally natural to say, look, I do the mitzvah, but I want to get credit. And if I can get more credit, matoba manayim. Right?
Like,
I don't...
Aren't you not...
He's not doing it because he's going to be rewarded, but he's saying, I'm doing the reward, and if I find out, right, it's like, look.
I feel like the inference is Tommy has, like, a tally mark. Like, it's,
No. Look,
it doesn't mean it like that.
Look, it's like someone says, look, I'm going to do this job because I love it. You know, I'm going to do it always, right? I'm not going to complain if I find out that I'm getting a $5 million bonus, right? Okay, but I'm not going to complain. That's not why I'm doing it. Right? He's saying, look, I'm doing it because I'm doing it. It's the right thing to do. But if I find out that it's going to count for more, right? Or I'm going to find out that God is going to be very impressed, you know? I want God to be impressed with me, right? I don't know. Does it, you know?
I
understand. He's not doing it for the reward. He's just saying, if I find out that I get a big bonus, right? I'll be happy. I'll make a party. Okay. But what does Tosfos say? So Tosfos says, In Avodah Zarah and also in Kiddushin, right? He says almost the same thing in Kiddushin, though he adds another word. Let's start with the one in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, Tosa says, why is it you get more reward? What? Yeah, so hold the thought. So the Gemara, so Tosa says, why do you get more reward if you're commanded? Danny, what did he say?
What?
What did he say? Why, according to Tosa, why do you get more reward?
It's a responsibility. He has to worry about that.
Yeah, so Tosa says very simply, he said, look, Tosa says, if you're obligated, it's more stressful. It's more stressful. Right? Now, according to Tosfos, right, fundamentally, what does it sound like? Is it better to be a volunteer or is it better to be, what's better, volunteer or obligated?
Volunteer.
It sounds like volunteer. He's saying, look, really, obviously it's better to volunteer because you're showing initiative. What's the problem? Why is it that someone who's obligated gets more reward? Because practically, it's not true. If you live in...
It's easier to do it when you don't.
Exactly.
It's harder to do it when you like...
Yeah, he's saying, look, in a world where if you could isolate it and say, a volunteer who has no stress and an obligated person who has no stress, right, who's better? You'd say volunteer. But he said it's not the reality. The reality is, right, it's often much easier to do something if you don't have to. Right? Because what happens? If I told you, you don't have to daven in the morning. It's a nice thing to daven in the morning, but you don't have to.
It's like when it's done, right?
Well, one of the big implications of this Gemara is women performing a mitzvah that they're not obligated in. Yes. Yes. Right? But yes, meaning the choices that I'm not reading...
No problem.
Right. So the Tosfos that I'm not reading in Kiddushin, there is a long discussion of this. You're right. Right. One of the big implications is women performing mitzvah they're not obligated, and one of them comes down to this sugya. But the Gemara says very simple. Look.
What kind of
thing women are? All mitzvahs are right? Time bound mitzvah they're not obligated in. But let's just take shacharis, right? If I told you, you don't have to daven shacharis. It'd be nice if you came to shacharis, but you don't have to. So, the person who's not obligated, let's say he makes it every day, but one day he's really tired. Yeah. He doesn't make it. So, he doesn't make it. Big deal. Yeah. Right? The person who has to, right, is fighting against, first of all, we all know, right? First of all, it feels good to volunteer, right? It feels good. You know, I'm going above and beyond. Once we say you have to do it, you don't want to do it. And there's a certain stress level, right? Yeah. Right. Tosfos is a bit clearer, number two. Right? He says, Nira Hainu Taima, the Misha Mitsuvioza Adif Lafisha Doig Mastar Yotem Yaavor Pen Yaavor, Misha Aina Mitsuva. Right? One who's obligated is more worried because he might violate. Mimisha Aina Mitsuva, one who isn't obligated, Shieshlo Pat Pisalo, Shemir Tsyaniyah. Right? Pat Pisalo is an expression of Gemara. He already has bread in the basket. Meaning, worst comes to worst, right? He can't be a negative. He can only be at neutral. Right? Worst comes to worst, if he doesn't do it, no one's going to hold him accountable. No one's going to yell at him. There's no stress. So Tosfos says, look, in the end of the day, purely psychologically, it's better to be obligated. You get more reward because it's more stressful. Right? So you have to fight yourself more. Tosfos Rush in number three. Skip to the second line. He says similar thing. He says, he says, you worry. Now he adds something, right? Tosfos just says, you worry. Tosfos Rush adds a little bit more, and he says, not only are you worried, but it's more than that. You also need to force yourself more. You need to overcome your Yetzer Hara. Why? Right, Tosfos implied this over here, but Tosfos is a bit more clear. But why? Because we all know, we all have rebellious streaks, right? There's something nice about being rebellious. If someone says you don't have to do it, we'll do it. If they say you have to do it, you won't do it, right? Or you won't want to do it, right? We know that, right? It's sometimes the most effective way of getting someone to do something is not by telling them to do it, right?
Is make
Yeah, well, we all know that. We all have a natural, maybe you don't, maybe you're all tzaddikim. Most people like rebelling. What? Yeah, exactly. That's what the Rosh says.
It's actually true.
As soon as your parents say it, it's like,
Get up.
Then you're like, I don't want to get up, right?
I just had a long meeting with school. It's like,
good.
And then they say, do you want to go to school? That's the question mark. And then
exactly. Bidyuk. Now, the Rush and the Ritva, though, have a different one. And they agree with Shimon. And they say no. There's another way of conceptualizing this. It's not a technical thing. Shimon, say what you said again. Why is it that God mitzvah v'yotze mishen mitzvah v'yotze? Because?
God commanded you to do it.
Right. Because God commanded you to do it. Or let's push that a little bit farther. What does the word mitzvah mean?
Commandment.
Therefore, what happens if someone volunteers to do a mitzvah? Yeah, that's very hard, right? Because what is essential to the to a commandment? By definition,
commanded to do it.
You have to do it. Essential, literally, to the word, right? You look up in a dictionary. Command, right? A commandment is
you have to do
that. Which you are commanded to do.
Okay,
we'll come back to that. Hold the thought of women. Hold it. Okay, hold that thought. Right, Tosfos already asked your question. Tosfos, if you continue in Tosfos Rush, the Tosfos Rush says, like Shimon, he says, no, it's more fundamental. Va'od, she'ena kadosh baruch hu tzarech klum l'kol ha-mitzvot. God doesn't need your mitzvot. Ela she'omer v'naseh ritzono. What does God need or want? God doesn't need mitzvot. What does he want? He wants obedience. But what does obedience imply?
You have to
be told. Hilka hamitzuva viose hu otze ritzon kono. The one who's commanded is doing what he's commanded. Look. But if someone isn't, he's not commanded. He didn't perform a commandment. He performed a good deed. Right? In English, sometimes you'll hear people say a mitzvah is a good deed. Right? What is the Tosfos Rosh telling you? No, it isn't. Right? Or let's put it differently. The hava amina, that a volunteer is better than someone who's obligated, is because they think of a mitzvah as a good deed. But if you want, the reason that it's not true is because a mitzvah isn't a good deed. A mitzvah is a commandment. A commandment applies a commander and a commanded. And therefore, if someone volunteers, they are, it's just not a mitzvah. It's not. Right? They get reward, it's a good thing to do, but it isn't, in the end of the day, a command. Right? The Ritva in number 4 quotes this from the Ramban as well. Right? So he says, "Da'amar Rav Chanina, gadol mitzvah v'yoseh, yoter mimisheinu mitzvah v'yoseh." Right? One who is commanded, it gets more reward than one who isn't. Pirshu Raboteinu Zal. Right? Zal is? Zichrono Levracha, or Zichronam Levracha in this case, right? Plural. Tama davar she'ein satan mikatrago kshu mitzuveh v'zein satan mikatrago l'fum tzara agra. Right, so he's paraphrasing Tosfot. He says, Balei Tosfot say technically, the satan doesn't try to stop you. It's just another angle. Right, the satan, the Yetzer Hara, doesn't try to stop you if you don't have to do it. If you have to do it, he tries to stop you. Yeah. He says, Rabbeinu HaGadol Zal, but the Ramban, right, the Ritva's Rebbe is who? Max, who's the Ritva's Rebbe? Ritva, we're reading now. The Ramban. Well, not quite. Really, let's get the history straight. The Ramban is who? Ramosha ben? Not the Rambam. The Ramban. Ramosha ben? Nachman. Nachman. Right? He lives in Christian Spain. He has many students, but two we'll focus on. One is the Rajba. Rajba is? Ben. Adirit. Right? And he has another main student, the Ra'a, Rav Aaron Halevi. The Rav Aaron Halevi has a student named the Ritva. Now, people sometimes say he's a Talmud of the Rajba. That's sort of true. He's somewhat a student of the Rajba, more a student of the Ra'a. The Ritva stands for? Rabbi Yom Tov. He's Yom Tov of Seville. Right? It's for Asvili, right? So he first quotes the Balei Tosfot, and he says the practical one. But then he says Rabbeinu HaGadol Zal, the Ramban, Peir Sham Mitzvot Einan Lahanaat Ha'el Yitbarach Hamitzaveh L'Zkuteinu. Mitzvot aren't for God, they're for us, who are commanded, for our benefit. One who's commanded was commanded. He did a commandment. If you're a volunteer, it's not a command. So you didn't do a mitzvah. You did something else. You did a good deed.
Is that not a mitzvah?
No, because a mitzvah is a commandment. And therefore he said, it's true, it's also a good deed. And if someone does it as a volunteer, it's good. But in the end of the day, it's not a mitzvah.
What's the difference between that and helping a stranger, not necessarily a Jewish person, but helping a stranger with groceries?
Meaning mitzvot are often good deeds, right? But a good deed isn't sufficient to rise to the level of mitzvah. What makes a mitzvah is that it's a command.
What's that?
Chesed is also a mitzvah. I mean, helping people is also a mitzvah.
But you're not necessarily...
But you are, right? I mean, there are many mitzvot, right? Helping people is a mitzvah. It's under the rubric of mitzvot. But in the end of the day, he says someone who isn't obligated, it's not a mitzvah, it's only a good deed. That's not a bad thing.
Is that like a sub-tier?
Yes. It's a lower level. Right? And that's what he says. He says, Mikom makom. He says, Afu ra'i l'kabel schar. On Max's point, he says, look, even if you volunteer, you get a reward. Why? Sharei mituv levav v'chasidut yichnis etzmo lasot mitzvah Hashem yitbarach. Out of the goodness of your heart and righteousness, you're doing what God had commanded others. Right? V'dafka b'mitzvot. But then he's very careful. Right? He says, however, there's really three levels. There's a mitzvah to one who's commanded in it, but then there's two other levels. What are they?
Doing a mitzvah without being told to.
Correct. And now, how is in what sense is it a mitzvah if you're not commanded?
What sense is it?
Right? We just said a mitzvah is only a commandment. So how can you do a mitzvah without being commanded? Shimon, how can you do a mitzvah without being commanded? Then it's not a mitzvah.
Right.
So, but he says it's not true. Because there's a middle level. Right? What's the middle level?
It's
very simple.
Okay.
No. It's a mitzvah that you're not obligated in, but someone else is.
Okay.
Right? Right? Why is that a middle level?
Because at least it's still a Jewish obligation.
Because it's something that
someone would be obligated.
Correct. Meaning it's something that God said, God instructed somebody to do. It happens to be that you have an exemption. Right? So he says that's the middle level. Right? And he says, if it's something that God wants done, right, he commanded other people, so if you do it, you get reward. Because you may not be personally commanded, but the act you're doing is a commandment. Right? You, for you, it's only a good deed. But the thing is a commandment. But if you do something that you assume is good, but the Torah never talked about it at all, right? The Torah has nothing to say about it, and you just say, well, I feel that this is good. That, he says, is stupid. Right? He says, kol she'enu mitzuveh b'davar v'oseyu nikra hedyot. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Anyone who does something that's totally not commanded is an idiot. Right? Hedyot is just an idiot.
There's
right? That's the word.
Why?
What? Ah, because, right, this is a confusing statement. The Ritva says, right, there's three levels.
We're always told to go beyond.
Perfect, Max. But the key is, and this is something we'll have to discuss more in the year, what does it mean that the Torah doesn't say it? Right? What you're assuming is going beyond the letter of the law is something that's not in the Torah, but it's not true. Right? In addition to the mitzvot,
it is in the Torah, but it's not implied. Like,
it's not explicit, or it's not
explicit. The same way of saying that the Mishnah is not in the Torah, but it's
not quite. It's not the exact same, but
it was given down.
So it's not the exact same, but right, it's a little bit different, right? The Ramban puts it as the follows. The Ramban says, in addition to the mitzvot, there's also the spirit of the law. Now, spirit of the law. What does the spirit of the law mean? What does it mean to say something is the spirit of the law?
Like if it says don't kill people, not driving recklessly would be in the spirit of the law.
Something like that. But what does that mean? That means that the Torah does say something about it. Right? It's not totally neutral.
Right.
It emerges from what God did command. So that's not stupid. Right? What's stupid is to say, I have this thing that I think is valuable for no reason. Right? Meaning, not because it's in the Torah, not because it's implied by the Torah, not because it fits with the Torah, just because I think, right? I think God will be happy if I jump on my right leg every morning. Right? Yes. What? So, that's the Ritva's middle level. Rabbi Yosef kept the mitzvot of the Torah, he just wasn't obligated. No, that's why the Ritva said there's three levels. There's three levels. There's a mitzvah you're commanded in. Right? There's three levels. There's a mitzvah that you're commanded in, that's the highest level. Then there's something which is a mitzvah because God commanded it. You happen to be exempt. But you know that this is a valuable act because God instructed other people to do it. So you partake in it, even though you're not yourself obligated. That, it's not the highest level, but it's the middle level. And then there's things that you make up. Right? The Ritva says that's meaningless. Right? That's meaningless.
I was confused. I thought you were talking about
mitzvot. He's saying, right, that's the Ritva saying. The Ritva is saying mitzvot that are mitzvot.
That is stupid.
Though that's his point. There are three levels. Now, you're right. There are a lot of things that aren't explicit in the Torah that the Torah still wants you to do. Right? That's another story. Right? What it is that the Torah wants you to do is a much broader discussion.
This
is not a response. There are many things that are response carried. This is not, I assume.
Bring them the verse that says that you should
No, because there are things in the Torah that are wider.
It says they go beyond the Shabbat, like above and beyond the Shabbat. Doesn't it say
No, they don't go above and beyond, they just interpret the Torah differently. That's a different problem. Right? The machloket with Karaites is how to interpret Torah. Right, but they're trying to interpret it. They're not going beyond. They're just they have a different interpretation. Because it's how they interpret the Torah. The Torah says you shouldn't have ash, you shouldn't have fire. So they say you shouldn't have fire, not you shouldn't light fire. Right, but that's an interpretive machloket. Okay, Now, Max is right. Let's come back to Max's point, and then we'll close with a Rav Lichtenstein here. Right? Max is right that one of the fundamental questions that the Rishonim dealt with here is women performing mitzvah they're not obligated in. The Ashkenazi psak, the standard Ashkenazi psak, is that almost always it's good for women to do any mitzvah, and they can make a bracha on it. Why? Because he says, Rabbeinu Tam says, you can make a bracha for the mitzvah. And then the Rambam says, how can you make a bracha? How can you say, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav, that you sanctified us with your commandments? You're not commanded. So what does the Rabbeinu Tam say?
So
the Rambam says, don't say a bracha. Women can't say a bracha when they perform mitzvah, right, that they're not obligated in. But Rabbeinu Tam says you can. And that's the standard Ashkenazi psak. Why?
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Can I give you an example? Because, like, let's say you decided to join the American Army.
No, yeah.
I'm just using an example. You conscript yourself to do it. You're not required to do it. But you make a promise and a vow.
Okay, so hold that thought for 30 seconds. Rabbeinu Tam says something much more simple. Right, Rabbeinu Tam just says, look, a woman can perform a mitzvah she's not obligated in, and she can make a bracha. Why? Because what the Ritva says. It is a mitzvah. You're not commanded. But you're partaking. Yeah, it is the chefza, right? It is a mitzvah. You're not obligated. Now, what Max said is actually very clever, and it is also a shita in Bali Tosfot. It's not Rabbeinu Tam. It is how, but it's a different shita in the Bali Tosfot, right? Where other Balei Tosfot say exactly what you said, right? Or Elazar Mitz says what you said, which is no. The reason women can say it is not because it's a mitzvah for somebody else, but because when a woman decides to do a mitzvah she's not obligated in, what she's doing is she's conscripting. If she's not saying, I'm going to volunteer, she says, I'm going to volunteer to be obligated. Right? Now, by the way, we use this to good effect in Israel. Jews can come up with anything, right? We're very good at Gemara here. The law is, right, if you ever look in your American passport, if you volunteer for a foreign army, that can lose you your citizenship.
In the U.S.?
Yes. Ay, machal. How do Americans volunteer in the Israeli army?
How?
Because they don't volunteer. They volunteer to take on temporary Israeli citizenship, and then they're conscripted. And if you're conscripted, it doesn't violate the law, and then you lose the citizenship. And that's how we do it.
Gotta love Jews.
That's the chop.
That's also if it's an ally. Like,
no, you can't even... Ally, you can't do it either. Okay.
Really?
Yes, you can't do it. That's how we do it, at least how we used to do it. Maybe there's exceptions now, but at some point, that was how Israel did it.
So now it's basically like, here's temporary citizenship.
Correct. And therefore, you're conscripted.
Wow.
Yes. Good. Now, the last source I'll show you... Good. So if you look at the last source, not surprisingly, Briskers, if you'll get to know more about Briskers, but Briskers, who are very into formal things in general, love this Ritva. They love it. Because,
oh my gosh, I love this Ritva.
Right?
It's so beautiful. It's just like, do it.
Do it because mitzvot are about being obligated. It's command. It's not because it feels good. It's not just right, right? A mitzvah is valuable because there's a mitzvah. So Mori Varabi. So I've mentioned him already, so I'll mention him again. But Rav Lichtenstein summarizes why Briskers love this Gemara, and particularly the interpretation of Ritva. And he writes, there's a famous halachic ruling, which should also be understood as a statement of philosophy, that Godol Mitzvah V'Yosa V'Meishena Mitzvah V'Yosa. A person who does something after being commanded is superior to one who does it without being commanded. In the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, initially states that he would make a party if someone would tell him that the law follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a blind person is exempt from performing mitzvot. Why? Because I'm not commanded, but I nevertheless perform mitzvot. In other words, his gut instinct was identical to ours. A volunteer is more admirable than a person who's required to do something. We tend to think that there's a greater measure of identification with a cause if you do something as a volunteer. But after you heard what Rav Chanina said, namely, Gadol Mitzvah V'Yoseh, Rabbi Yosef would now throw a party if someone said that Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Presumably, one who is Eino Mitzvah V'Yoseh, one who is not commanded but nevertheless performs, acts in accordance with his personal inclination, and therefore attains more self-fulfillment than one who simply commanded, do this. No one asked the commanded individual whether he likes what he is doing. And yet, Chazal say, thus placing at the center, or, and this is the key, plus placing at the center, or even at the apex of our spiritual lives, the sense of being called and commanded. This is what religious existence in general is about, and certainly applies to Judaism more than to most other religions. Of course, this has widespread implications. For example, does a person look for a career where he will feel fulfilled, doing what he likes to do? Or will he choose a career where he's responding to some call, to a sense of duty? A person responsive to the call of duty may sense that the historical movement has thrust upon him the need to follow a particular course, although it may not be that which corresponds most intimately and most fully to his own inner instincts. Or he notes that this has very wide implications of the nature of Torah, right? As I remember once in Gush, we had one of these question-answer things, and someone asked the Ramim, right, about whether performing mitzvot makes you happy. And one of the Ramim of Mordechai Friedman just said, it doesn't need to. And it's not why we do mitzvot. Right? We don't do mitzvot. He's like classic rescue. He said, we don't do mitzvot because they make you happy. Right? You do mitzvot because you have to, because there's a sense of duty. Right? Because you're mitzuveh. And therefore, briskers love this ritva. Just let me just finish the thought. Right? Love this ritva, because what the ritva is saying, it's not Gadol Mitzuviyos for technical reasons like Tosfos. Right? It's because... Exactly. Gadol Mitzuviyos is true because the key to mitzvot is that they are mitzvot. They're commandments. They're not good deeds. You're responding to a call of duty, and therefore, sometimes you got to do it, even if you don't identify, even if you don't want to do it, even if it's hard. Right? That's the point.
It's between that and our son, Elazar. Like, they responded, they were not required to, right?
And they got killed. Not the Navil. Yes. Exactly.
Why?
Because they shouldn't have done that.
That was a little bit.
They were not commanded.
They were explicitly said not to do it, though. It wasn't until afterwards they died.
Yeah, but everything in the Mishkan was done, Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. Right? There's an extra emphasis in the Mishkan of only doing things.
But they were going to inherit it from Aaron sooner or later, very soon. He was
Well, not that act. They weren't supposed to do that. Doesn't matter.
They
but at this point, they weren't.
But they did it with good intentions.
Doesn't matter. Who cares?
There's someone you could ask that question to 3 times a day. It's just a brisk. Like,
but it's a good question, and it requires understanding that. So yeah, but the short answer is no. There's a value there to doing what you're supposed to do, and yeah, they may have good intentions, but too bad.
Like, they should have been. That's severe punishment.
Yes, and that's why that requires a full discussion.
We're talking about when Miriam spoke about Moshe's wife. And my mom actually thinks has an interesting theory that she was being racist about Moshe's wife.
Yeah, there are Mepharshim who think that, yeah. but fine.
Racist
sort of, but well, you know. I don't know if that relates to this. I don't know if it relates to this particular point. Look, neither of you, you're right, is an interesting discussion. But the basic point of the sugya, according to the Ritva,
she was punished relatively, was embarrassed, which is a horrible, which is sometimes worse than death.
Okay, each of those stories requires an analysis of that story, right? You're not going to solve all the problems in Chumash al Regel Achad. Right.
But I'm just I'm giving that example, and then I said
Nadav and Aviyu,
they took that.
Correct, and there
one step they said I'm going to do this.
There are contextual reasons for why what they did was as bad as it was, right? But again, you have to understand the story.
So what's the difference between that Rabbi Yosef throwing a party who's not obligated to? They weren't obligated to go into the Mishkan.
Yeah, and they were forbidden to. Right, he wasn't.
Were they forbidden to?
Yes.
You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to go unless you have to. Right, that's the point.
I thought it wasn't explicitly told until they died.
Mm-hmm. No, you're only allowed to go if, right, the key phrase over and over in the Mishkan is Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. Everything in the Mishkan is only by instruction. You don't make things up. You don't imply. You don't assume. Right, that's very bad. Anyway.
Kill?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, why it was so severe, you have to understand the context, and we're not going to solve that problem right now. But for our purpose, just to summarize, right, the Gemara asserts, Gadol Mitzuviyosa. Tosfos says that it's for technical reasons, right? It's easier to do things as a volunteer. There's less stress, there's less opposition, emotional opposition, whatever the Satan is exactly. But the Ritva, and the second answer in the Rash, say no. Gadol Mitzuviyosa teaches us something very fundamental, which is that mitzvot aren't just good deeds. They are tzivugim. They are commands. Commands imply a commander and a commanded. Right? It's valuable to do mitzvah you're not obligated in, but in the end of the day, a mitzvah requires a mitzvah and a mitzuveh, right? A commander and a commanded. And as Rav Lichtenstein said, that tells us a lot about our lives as Jews. It's not about doing what feels good, what you identify with. Fundamentally, it's about doing what you have to do, what you're supposed to do, what I know Shimon is in heaven right now. But just to touch on what Max said before, but Max is right. Right, Max is right that one of the very big sugyas that comes out of this, and I've already mentioned a little bit, is the question of women performing mitzvah that they're not obligated in. Right, it is valuable; they do get reward. But the question of what is the nature of that reward? Do they make bracha? Do they not? Emerges in a large part from this sugya. Right, this is one of Rabbeinu Tam's central proofs, which is you see they get schar and therefore they can make a bracha. Right, the Rambam doesn't agree because the Rambam says no. You don't make a bracha, even if something's a mitzvah for somebody else. Unless you are a mitzvah, you can't make a bracha. Right? And ad hayom, right, that is the position of... Ad hayom, the standard Sephardi psak, is that if a woman performs a mitzvah, she's allowed to, that she's not obligated in. Shofar, lulav, whatever, she's allowed to, it's a good thing, she cannot make a bracha. Right? That's the position of Rav Avadia Yosef in many, many, many tshuvot. He has a long... endless discussion about this in Yabi Omer, Chelek Aleph, Tshuva, Lamaches, Lamates, Mem, Mem Aleph. You just love this. What?
Oh, you don't understand. I've been arguing with someone for the longest time. Recently, they came to Israel for the first time. They're like, all this stuff is so hard to do. I'm like, why? And they're like, because it's just like, it doesn't feel like I should be doing it. I'm like,
there's a reason briskers love this Gemara and this Ritva.
But it doesn't matter how you feel.
Yes. But that was, Mordechai said it. Mordechai does things very deadpan. He's like, let me tell you a story. I was once on Shmirah. It was the middle of the winter, the middle of the night. The last thing I wanted to do was be there in the freezing cold doing Shmirah. And I was miserable. And I wasn't happy. But I was okay with it because I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. That was it, right? He doesn't care. Right now, another one of the Ramim said...
For me, like, I used to have that problem, like, oh, this mitzvah doesn't speak to me, this right. And the other, but then I realized...
One of the other Ramim pointed out, or Schreiber pointed out, he said, that's true. The Torah does want, eventually, for you to get to the point where you identify and makes you happy.
Right.
The Torah tells you that the klalot come because tachar asher lo avata es Hashem elokecha b'simchat dov leivav, meaning, it's not an ideal, right? The ideal isn't to say... I do it, and I hate it every day of my life. The ideal is to recognize, right? That's not the ideal.
Do it, and then do it.
The ideal is to do it even if you don't yet identify. And this comes back to what Nachum said before, right? You can tap Nachum over there, right? Is that sometimes, yes, the goal isn't always to do it l'lo l'shma, right? The goal is eventually that you are inspired, but you should do it even if you're not. Okay. On Sunday, we will start with a much harder sugya than this one. Thank you, Shimon. I'm sure that was uncomfortable. What? So there's three levels, right? There's commanded, a mitzvah you're commanded in, a mitzvah that someone else is commanded in, so at least it is a mitzvah, even if you're not commanded, and then there are other things, right, which are not at all, right, you sort of make up. There are obviously middle cases we'll have to talk about, but not